Congressman Cawthorn grabs more unfavorable headlines, the latest in a school reopening dispute, and additional relief is on the way. This is the Politics Podcast from WUNC. I'm Jeff Tabiri. End of the work week means time to start our review of North Carolina political happenings. Here for the discussion are Aisha Du. She's the political director at Higher Heights, an organization that strives to get more black women elected to public office. And also Clark Reamer. He's the chief of staff for State House Representative Jason Sane. Reamer is also former chair of the North Carolina Young Republicans. This conversation was recorded Friday morning. State lawmakers have unanimously approved a bill that disburses the latest round of federal COVID relief. In full, it's a $1.7 billion package, about $1 billion of which is allocated to fund testing and school reopening efforts. And there are dozens of other provisions, among them tens of millions for small business loans. Some attorneys can be sworn in remotely. Also tucked away is $9 million for construction of a facility in Conover for testing and PPE production. Aisha, one thing you really like from this bill, Clark, one thing either wasteful or missing from this legislation. Aisha, go ahead first.
Sure. Getting support for educators and for schools to go back. Other states are doing it, so we're actually a month or two perhaps behind some others. So I'm glad that that's what we're doing.
Before I go to Clark, give me one thing that you don't like. So what's in here? What isn't in here, or what is missing?
Honestly, I could always see I could also see more support for small businesses. Really and truly, this has been a very difficult time with a lot of businesses shutting their doors. So given, of course, that it is not the we've lacked federal support to a great extent. So we could have had more. So I would love to see more of that. I would dare say, unfortunately, I'd like to see a lot more support for perhaps almost every area because this is so late.
Clark, one thing either wasteful or missing from this legislation?
Well, I'd say we would love to have done more for closed businesses. Unfortunately, this bill was really constrained by the federal government. This was a lot of grant money to specific areas, DHHS, State Board of Education, et cetera. So the legislature was very constrained as to what they could do with this money. So while we want to do and will do more in the future to support the small businesses, especially those that have been closed, that wasn't possible in this package.
One thing you are very much pleased about having made its way through this legislative process and sitting in this bill that is now, as we record on Friday morning, on the governor's desk.
I think we have to be very pleased with the work we've done with the school systems and how we're helping to reopen the schools. That's an important topic. I think it's front and center on North Carolinians, and especially parents' minds. So that we were able to show real support for that is, and put that into the dollar figures, is extremely important.
All right, let us revisit the school reopening issue. A week ago, the governor vetoed a bill that sought to require more in-person learning. A vote to override Cooper's veto failed on Monday night. The override issue could be brought back up. Meanwhile, some local school boards are moving forward with efforts to return to a greater level of normalcy. And the State Board of Education passed a resolution this week requiring some more in-person learning by the end of the month. However, legislative Republicans are not yet satisfied. Clark, why not?
I think they're still concerned that, under the state board's proposal, no high schools or middle schools will be allowed to return to Plan A. They're still stuck in Plan B. We've had district superintendents like Carteret County superintendent ask the State Board of Education, please allow us to move to Plan A. And they're being told they can't do that. And we know Plan A isn't working for our students. I think there's a great deal of concern when you have one of the senior leaders of the state Association of Educators coming out last night and saying, the learning gap isn't real, basically, because of COVID-19, which goes against everything we've seen both in testing and in academic study of what's been going on. We have to get kids back in the classroom, or we're facing a generational loss of knowledge.
Aisha, my query for you is, I guess, where are you at on this school reopening piece? as we think about this spat between the governor and the legislature and the role of the school boards here, is this more political or is this more public health, or how are you viewing this?
Essentially, right, like we're still trying to obviously keep students and teachers safe. So the biggest issue right now is that it removes the ability to make an emergency decision to go back if there is another variant of COVID hitting, right? And we're not even quite sure how the vaccine is going to perform long term, right? So we just have a lot of variants and a lot of things that we still need to keep into consideration and be able to react as needed to help keep students and teachers and families safe.
I'd say, of course, it's political. If you look at what Senator Lowe said when he voted against the override, and Senator Lowe's a pastor, chooses his words very carefully. He said, the governor called and asked me to change my vote, and I'm a Democrat and he's a Democrat, so I did it. But note, he didn't say he changed his mind on the merits of the bill.
So a quick follow-up there. Senator Paul Lowe's a Democrat of Forsyth County. He voted for the school reopening bill when it moved through the legislature. Then after the governor vetoed it, the governor, just to add a little bit of a bow on what you're talking about, Clark, called Lowe and said, I want you to now vote against the bill, ostensibly upholding my veto. So that's just a little bit of the additional context there. Aisha, what's getting lost in all this, if something is getting lost in the school reopening discussion? Has it become too political to the point where we're not stuck to the data, stuck to the guidelines? Like, what's missing?
I mean, I think we just need to keep students safe and keep teachers safe and make sure that we are allowing ourselves the ability to move when needed in case there are other issues.
North Carolina Congressman Madison Cawthorn continues to make national headlines. The nation's youngest U.S. House representative was accused by a friend of lying about the car crash that left Cawthorn paralyzed from the waist down. Reports from the Washington Post and BuzzFeed have renewed attention to the multiple accusations of sexual harassment against him. All allegations presently are from before he was a congressman. National and state leaders have been quiet on Cawthorn. What are you hearing in this silence? Aisha?
I think that obviously there's a lot going on with the silence of leadership. I think that speaks to a lot. I hope that obviously if there have been any women who have dealt with sexual harassment, that they are that they receive the justice and what they need, that they receive some type of support around this, right? And as far as the issue of the accident, I just can't call it. This has become a very interesting situation, and I think that the silence speaks volumes.
Clark, what do you make of the silence here? It's unsurprising, right?
Perhaps. I think, any allegation of sexual assault is always serious and needs to be investigated. Until we go through that investigation, there's some amount of presumption of innocence. These are allegations from years ago from college and right before and after. We'll see what happens.
So one of the points that was underscored in a Washington Post piece this week, Clark, is this note about the state GOP being rather quick to admonish Richard Burr for his role in the impeachment vote. And then, totally unrelated to that, but as we think about Cawthorn's behavior over here, the state GOP hasn't seemed to have much inertia to address that in any way. As a Republican, is that problematic? Should they do something? Is there some thing that needs to take place with all of this stuff kind of swirling around Cawthorn? Or is the play here, and I say play, political play, to just kind of ride it out and hope that it goes away?
Well, I think there's some amount of difference between what people do as an official Republican representative, as in taking a vote, versus trying to conduct an ethics investigation into possible sexual misconduct or other issues that really the party's just not equipped to do so. The Burr thing was very simple. He took a vote. The party disagreed with it. They wanted to express that disagreement. There's no way the party can is equipped or have the ability to engage in this sort of investigation and come to the truth of the matter. That'll, you know, that's a issue for law enforcement, if appropriate, or the House or House Ethics Committee to take up. If they come to an investigation, then it may be appropriate for the party to give voice to its feelings about those results later. But the party is simply not equipped to take on that sort of investigation.
Does it frustrate you that this is an emerging figure in your party?
Well, we'll see. He certainly has a lot of national following. How that's going to translate to the district, and this is the other mechanism, is there's going to be a primary in a year and a half. And we'll see what happens there. There's already some rumblings about, I think if you read the tea leaves, you can see some rumblings of a possible primary challenge, and we'll see what happens.
I'll add just a note of context here that, to me, the tea leaves indicate that one possible, if not likely, primary challenge could come from Chuck Edwards, a Republican from Henderson and Buncombe County, who serves presently in the state Senate.
A popular and very conservative senator.
Popular and very conservative state senator. Aisha, from this electoral standpoint, there is virtually no chance that a Democrat could win this seat under the current map. And we think that the 11th Congressional District is going to change a little bit based on the redistricting process and perhaps get a little bit more competitive. But this, unless it is fundamentally redrawn or fundamentally shifted, it's a real long shot for a Democrat to win this seat. So I'm wondering what the role of progressives are, or candidates, a progressive candidate is in this district to try to, undo some of the Cawthorn effect. Do you have a thought on that?
I think it's just, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we are going to start to change the landscape based off of census data whenever we're able to actually draw new maps. So that is definitely going to be a part of the dynamic that we look at. And like you said, it still may not change considerably. However, I think that there will be a number of candidates running in all of these areas to challenge folks. And when you look at the numbers, 140,000 people have left the Republican Party. I think that was as of last month. Of course, we're just in a new month, but I think the Republican Party is changing, right? Like, so this is going to be a conversation, because I think for those who are approaching with measured politics and conversation, will perhaps be able to change the landscape, change the performance of some of these districts.
Real quick, 140,000, is that a national figure?
That's a national figure, right.
All right. I think here in North Carolina, just for a second layer of context, it's about 20,000, a little bit more than 20,000 Republicans now who have changed that affiliation, far more than Democrats or other shifts that are taking place within the affiliation lot. Clark Riemer is a former chair of the North Carolina Young Republicans. Aisha Dew is the political director at the organization Higher Heights. Enjoy your weekend.
You too.
Have a great one.
Listenership of the Politics Podcast is ticking up, so thank you for downloading and tapping play, and for sharing. 2 points before we go. First, if you've got a moment, please leave us a review. Good, bad, indifferent. An honest review is only going to help me in the production of future episodes. And also, I've got thick skin. So, lay it on me. Second, a reminder to listen to our Tuesday episode if you have yet to do so. It's all about the media landscape within this ecosystem of North Carolina politics. Hope you get outside this weekend and learn something new. Until next time, I'm Jeff Tiberi.